John Murphy, Donald Jones, John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. And as usual on Fridays, it's the signal that the weekend is here when Lorenzo Alexander comes in. Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander comes in for the lowdown, his look at the game coming up on Sunday. Thanks for coming in, Lorenzo.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. You know, I always enjoy coming in and talking to you guys, hanging out a little bit. This quick question, John.
Yes,
is the glasses like a fashion?
No.
Like Westbrook? Because I see you took them off and you read very well.
No.
I'm just trying to figure that out.
You know what? I can't read. I'm old, Lorenzo. I can't read this stuff on a regular basis. Now I don't need to read as much.
Oh, okay.
I read better without the glasses.
Yeah, that's just unique.
They're bifocals. So ideally, if I were using them right, I would go like this.
Down? No, I don't like when people have them down at the tip of
their
nose.
And then they
look up at you.
Which is why the glasses come off.
Okay, all right, makes
sense.
They look
up over the glasses at you.
Just quick question. I just kind of observed that while you read that.
Very observant.
Yeah.
Very observant, Lorenzo. Let's talk about broadcasting for a second. I know this is something you have an interest. You went to NFL broadcast boot camp, right?
Yeah, I actually did the journalism broadcast boot camp.
Oh.
It's kind of like reading and broadcasting and radio at Bowling Green 2 years ago now.
Okay.
So it was very interesting. That's where I met Gary Manilow at, or Jerry Manilow.
Jerry Manilow, yeah.
And a couple other guys. James Brown did it as well. And so it was a good experience.
We were talking on your way in about last night's game and a couple of weeks now with the new CBS number one crew, Jim Nantz with Tony Romo, last night's game. I think Tony Romo is a breath of fresh air. You know, it's just a different sound.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. Great transition.
So
unique
there.
At it. I mean, he brings something different to the game, and I've heard some great things. So last night I was kind of actually trying to pay attention to, you know, some of his commentary, and he's great at it. I really loved it.
He really is. I'm telling you, last week I watched and listened to him, and there was like a 2-minute situation, and he was like, all right, I'm going to let the quarterback go ahead and take this one. And he went play by play before the play. He's like, this should be a pass. And it was a pass. This should be a run. This should be a draw. And
it's a script. You know, most teams are very it's copycat, do the same thing. They may have little small nuances that are particular to a given coordinator or quarterback. But most, I mean, you can kind of go down the line and they all run as similar concepts. I'll tell you also who I liked. I like Jay Feely's. When he comes in and does the special teams and talks about the kicker, like he's watched the kicker before the game and said, well, most of his kicks have been missing right going his direction. And nevertheless, the kicker missed it to the right going in the direction like at the half. So all those little things that they're kind of adding in are pretty awesome.
You're a special teamer. Do you find Feely knows more about special teams than kicking? Or I know he focuses on the kicking, but can he talk about coverages and stuff?
Yeah, he can talk about coverages. I mean, a lot of the kickers sit in all those meetings anyway, and he played in the league, 15, 16 years? So he really understands the game outside of just, you know, kicking field goals and kicking off.
Lorenzo Alexander in for the lowdown as we talk about the Bills game coming up against the Cincinnati Bengals. Lorenzo's here on Fridays, 2 o'clock.
Lorenzo, kickers usually know if there's a strength to one side of a kick coverage team, right? Like they know.
Yeah, they know where they're
strong. All right, we're
stronger
on this side. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and make sure that this is the side that's going to make this tackle.
Yeah, I mean, they do. They
try,
know. I mean, I don't think, but at the end of that, I think sometimes it's better for where they feel most comfortable kicking the ball, whether they're trying to kick it out, or if we want it in a certain place, some kickers have better control going left and right. Obviously, wind becomes a factor. Mm-hmm. So all those things go into it, but at the end of the day, you try to balance your guys out as far as having maybe, you know, two or three guys on either side that can cover guys up or guys that are just hunting to stand out. That's why it hurts so much when we have a guy like Cole Anderson, go down last week because he's one of our dogs out there, and he definitely adds depth to our defense as well.
I was just going to ask you about that, and Colt went to injured reserve the other day. His season would be over. And there's an injury list today, Humber, Matthews, et cetera. But to me, maybe when it's all said and done, the most significant injury right now for this team might be Colt Anderson. He was flying around on coverage teams.
Yeah, I mean, he's a difference maker out there. And Amy, I mean, you saw it even last year. I mean, I just hate to see a guy that does everything right, take care of his body, does the film study, works hard, grinds it out, and is a blue-collar, selfless type of player, and goes out there and breaks his arm. Again, the same arm is just crazy how that happens. And, you know, so obviously it happens for a reason. He's going to go on and do bigger and better things as he recovers from this. But, yeah, he was our leader. He's a guy I vote for captain every year, because I know the type of mentality he brings to it. He takes passion in it, and he goes out there and lays it on the line. And he's not that big, but he's going to put his nose in there and make a lot of big plays doing it.
So you always have that one guy, especially on coverage teams, that one guy that's always down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a competitor, we're on the same team, but you're not going to beat me to the ball every time. You know, like, I'm going to get there. And he was that he was that guy that's down there every time. So he forces everybody else to try to get there before he is. And then all of a sudden, you got big plays because people are flying to the ball.
Yeah, that too. And that hurt us as well when he got it because we have a big return. And right. Those type of guys can cover up. I mean, because we misfit some of the stuff on the wedge. But when you have a guy like Colt, TJ's another guy that does a great job of that. They are very disruptive. So even if you have some bad fits or guys don't get off blocks, when you have bell cows on your special teams that get down there all the time, they can be disruptive and really cover you up and end up having a big play when if they don't do what they do, it's a big play on us. And that's kind of what happened to us last
exactly
week.
That's what happened. It was like you didn't have anybody flying all the way down.
Yeah.
And watching the play, everybody was getting blocked. It was like everybody was block here. And I'm like, oh, this is about to get returned.
Yeah.
And boom.
And I could see it forming because I was actually trailing on my side and, you know, trying to fit it up because, you know, when you're running down with guys, you don't know necessarily what they're thinking. But the longer you play, just like with offense and defense, when you work with guys, you know what they're going to do. So we have some new parts and not quite sure. I'm like, oh, man, this thing is about to, bam, it hit. You can just feel it coming. And, you're just like, oh, I wish I would have played it slightly different. Because we had that look in practice all week, but we just played it different in practice. So it just sucked that we allowed that to happen. And that's actually one of the things that we can't allow this week to happen. Obviously, they got Erickson and Pac-Man that go back there as well, as well as Bernard sometimes. And all three of those guys have some juice to them and can take it to the house. So we definitely have to be firm in our coverages and play off well off each other this week.
Lorenzo, that return, and it was really on the list of things, and it was a list that Coach McDermott had Monday coming back here of great win, but here's a list of things we got to do better. I'm sure that was his message to you guys throughout the course of the week, huh?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have guys on this team that are here for special teams, and I feel like I'm one of those guys as well, and we have to stand up and do a better job of putting our defense in a better or a more advantageous spot as far as field position as well as our offense, because all that affects everybody when you give up a big return.
Yeah.
Luckily, the defense stood up, and we had an interception by Micah Hyde, so it kind of made that return null and void, and we was able to flip the field and have a big play out off of it.
You know, there's so much talk about, and Coach McDermott always talks about, you know, the culture and changing the culture, and everybody in the media is like, he's changed the culture, the team is 3-1, and we're like,
no.
Can you change the culture that fast? But where I was going with that is, one thing he said, I think, in his Monday press conference was knowing your roles on the team.
Right.
And that's part of a culture. Like, look, you are a special teams guy right now. That's just what it is. Yes, you have to focus on, you know, you got to know your stuff in case we need you on offense or defense. But this is your role. And so do your job.
Yeah, and that's key. And I think most of our guys understand that if you're going to be on this team and be productive, take advantage of your opportunities. And that's on special teams. You know, I try to stamp as much as I can. Like, that's what I did for the majority of my career. You go out there and be dominant, play, you know, 10 plus years just on special teams. That's what your role is. What's wrong with that?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's great. I've been in it for a long time, you know. Take care of your family. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on TV. People know who you are. Because especially in this town where special teams, I think the fans really appreciate and understand it. Obviously, it's been played great throughout the years here. And you think of a guy like Tasker who is really the epitome of what special teams looks like and has set that bar so high. So this is a great town to be a special teamer and go out there and ball out because they're going to show you just as much love as if you was, you know, a starter on defense or offense.
I've never heard anybody say that before. So some towns, they don't even pay attention to special teams?
I think some towns just don't understand the significance of special teams. Every town doesn't have a Steve Tasker that should be a Hall of Famer. And, you know, it's kind of really set the bar very high. And you've also had some great kickers here as well. So I don't think every town just as knowledgeable as Buffalo Bills fans are.
We bring Lorenzo Alexander in every Friday, this time for the lowdown when he goes through his keys to the game. And interestingly enough, Donald Jones had a list of keys to this game. And if I want you guys to think about this, how closely aligned your keys are from one to the other. And if you think about it, Lorenzo, you came in with keys, control the Bengals' defensive line. Donald says control Geno Atkins.
Right.
Lorenzo, you said eliminate their run game with better tackling.
Yeah.
Donald said better tackling. Lorenzo, you said execute fits and coverage lanes on special teams. Yeah. Donald says better coverage teams. You didn't coordinate this, right? That's total
happenstance. He always does that. He calls me early in the week, and we talk a little bit, and, you know, he kind of picks my brain, and then obviously he wants to look good on TV, so he comes to the expert.
Hey.
And I try to help him out as best I can. And so, you know, when I come in here, I don't think that he's going to actually have his top key. He thought he'd come up with at least his own ideas based on our conversation.
Yeah, he's going to reword it a little bit. I think he's going to plagiarize me and get his kicked out of school. He's going to reword it.
Young style pretty much, right? how it went at Youngstown State?
Hey, you get it how you live.
Yeah, just a little bit, so the teacher can't. Man, these papers look a lot alike.
So the lowdown, Lorenzo, your list anyway, and Donald starts with controlling the Bengals' defensive line, which, you know, people look at their 1-3 record and say, big deal, but this is a formidable defense.
I mean, they're dominant. I mean, you think about Geno Atkins, who is probably the best 3 technique in the league, interior lineman. I mean, next to probably Aaron Donald. You know, they 1 and 2. You can flip them. I mean, it really doesn't matter. You want those guys on your team. And then you have Michael Johnson and Carlos Dunlap, who are very long, mm-hmm. athletic guys on the outside. Yeah. You know, especially with some of our quick game, can get their hands up, be disruptive, knocking balls down. Those are the type of guys that you want to be able to control, be able to run the ball on, get them tired so they can't just pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. Because these guys can go very well, great players. I mean, I've been down at the Pro Bowl with Carlos last year, just kind of talking to him a little bit, and he's a phenomenal pass rusher and really understands the game.
You know, it's always interesting to me when you play certain teams and you can see what it is that they're trying to get in terms of personnel. Like, we would play Cincinnati, and a lot of these guys have been there for a while, and they are, like, lanky guys, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you play certain teams, and you have a bunch of tall dudes. And then you play other teams, and they're shorter.
They draft a certain way.
Yeah, they draft a certain way. And, you know, this team is more in terms of the defensive front. They're tall, lankier guys. But Geno Atkins has been good for some time. I think people underestimate him because he's so quiet. Like, you don't hear much about Geno Atkins.
Right.
You don't hear, but he already has 3 sacks on the season. Like, he's doing his thing right now.
He's a dominant player. I mean, he doesn't have to say much. You know,
right.
He goes out there and just hits you in the mouth and hits you in the mouth again and gets a sack and then, you know, makes plays in the backfield and you look up and you're like, man, this dude is dominated us. But I mean, he's not gonna talk trash. I mean, he's just not that type of guy. He's just a worker. And has been a blue-collar guy and a high-production guy, you know, since he's been in the league.
Seems to me that Bengals defense derives a lot of benefit out of having guys who've been together for a while. That's a veteran team that's played together for a while.
Well, that, and then I think they just have that swagger, borderline craziness almost to them. I mean, you think about Burfict, you think about...
You're talking about Montez Burfict. That's what you're talking about.
You think about Pac-Man. Yeah. Those guys live on the edge. And, I mean, it's not a bad thing. That's what makes them who they are and why they're so great. I mean, I remember covering kicks against Pac-Man, you tackling, he getting up, just swag, get off me. What are you doing? I mean, just that whole attitude, and it's just like, man, chill out, man. It's a play. I just made a play on you. What are you doing, man? Chill. You know, and they just had that movado about them, and that kind of percolates throughout the whole team, and they just get after it. And so, I mean, their defense has been really good. I think they had, 2 picks against Aaron Rodgers, which I think hasn't done that. I mean, that probably what Max is total for his whole career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they've been doing a great job on defense, and that type of swag is something that we're going to also have to control as well out there.
Burfict has been in trouble for crossing the line a couple of times.
Well, obviously he's not going to change because he continues to do it because that's who he is. I mean, mm-hmm. that's just what makes him him, and he's a great linebacker. And he likes that old school mentality, and that's how he grew up playing the game, and he ain't changing for nobody, even if his pockets keep getting hit. And I respect him for it. He is who he is.
It's been him. I'll tell you a quick story from the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago. Their linebackers coach is Jim Haslett.
I had Jim Haslett.
Yeah, you had Jimmy. So he just got the job at Cincinnati a couple of years ago, and it was, 2 weeks after the problem game against Pittsburgh. And we're talking in Mobile, and I said, gee, Jim, you're going to have to kind of rein those guys in a little bit, huh? And he goes, no. I want them to play like that. I want to see more of that.
Exactly.
That's a little bit of Haslett.
Right, Haslett, old school, too. Yeah. He's kind of crazy himself. So, I mean, it just speaks to that mindset. Obviously, he was in Pittsburgh for a long time. Just that physical, you know, black and blue type of players that get after and are physical and just dominate you, even if it may be at the detriment. They're willing to take a couple because at the end of the game, you go across the Vontae's in there.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm running that route. You're not getting me jacked up.
Hey, man,
you know what I mean? Right. I ain't going in there. And that could be the difference between you winning and losing a game.
Sure. Yeah. The lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander. So you talked about the Buffalo trying to handle their defensive line. And your defense, the run game, it's kind of a three-headed monster they have back there at the run game. And you guys have done a pretty good job overall of tackling.
Yeah, I mean, I think up until last week, those backs last week are special. I mean, I missed a couple of tackles just being in space. And I think we just have to do a better job of tackling guys. I know another play, they kind of squirted out. We had a guy on him and just not tackling well. We was able to get him down and defend the next blade of grass, which was good about our defense. We have guys run to the ball, but we can nip a lot of that stuff in the bud early just by tackling better, getting those guys on the ground, creating some negative plays, which is going to really help us on third down. Because right now, first and second, they've kind of went to more of a quick game under Bill Lazor, trying to get the ball out of Andy Dalton's hands. And really, that's kind of an extension of their run game. But if we can stop them on their runs and put them in some, you know, second and longs, and then which hopefully leads to some third and longs, we can pin our ears back and get after them and start getting guys down. I think we lead the league in pressures and hits right now, and we're kind of chopping at the bit to actually start totaling up some sacks.
Yeah.
What do you think of those backs in particular? And Donald's heard me say this all day. Joe Mixon.
Bay Area.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, he's got a ton of off-field baggage, which counts.
Right.
But on the field, he hasn't broken out yet, but I can almost see that it's going to happen eventually.
I mean, they have really featured him, I mean, in the game. I think he's still a young back, so he's still learning about pass pro protection on third downs, but they utilize him in the screen game. He has great vision, patience. Sometimes he sits back there and kind of waits it out, almost like a Le'Veon, and then comes out the back end. So he has a great ability, you know, strong, powerful runner. So I'm looking forward to playing against that. That's the type of backs I like. He's not gonna really break you down. He's going to, you know, make that one cut and try to run you over. Right, that's the physicality that I like versus last week when my
jumping
man Freeman.
Freeman, fake spin out,
stiff arm. Like, man, that's a highlight reel right there, you know. So I'm looking forward to playing him, and I know our guys are. But we're really going to put the onus on our D-line as far as knocking their offensive line back. And allowing the linebackers just to kind of flow, run downhill, and make some tackles.
He's from, it says Oakley, California?
Yeah, that's out on the other side of the tunnel, like going out 24. It's like Concord side.
Okay, all
over,
right.
Over there, so yeah.
What do you think of Gio Bernard?
He's solid too. Has a lot of juice. I don't know why they haven't utilized him as much lately, so I don't know what's going on internally with them, but. Yeah. I mean, he gave us some fits last year. He's another strong back. All three of their backs are very similar, you know. Downhill guys. Bernard probably has a little bit more shake to him as far as he may end up a little bit more, a couple more places or can break you down in space. But all of them are real aggressive downhill one-cut guys that run very strong. And then Hill, 32, I think he hasn't played as much because he's put the ball on the ground a couple of times. But he's another good back. But so if he's in the game, we definitely want to be able to try to strip him and get the ball out and create another possession for our offense, if not score on defense ourselves.
Lorenzo Alexander sharing his keys to the game, the lowdown as the Bills get set to play the Cincinnati Bengals. You touched on this a minute ago, but special teams, you talked about the 61-yard kick return that Atlanta had last week. What kind of challenge is presented by this return game for Cincinnati?
I mean, I think it's the same thing. It, you know, when you talk about coverage, most of the time it comes down to us. How we fit things, how we get off blocks. They do have two good returners. Erickson and Pac-Man is really good because he's very aggressive and will end up anywhere, has the speed to take it to the house and big plays. But at the end of the day, if we fit things well and get off of our blocks and have a mindset like we're about to go out here and tackle inside the 10 or 15, you have that mindset, we will be fine. And that's what I try to, you know, just, man, guys, just go out here and just ball, hairs on fire, especially if you're a special teams guy. You should be fresh, ready to go, eat, you know, you should be down there.
Wait for your opportunity.
You know, waiting and thinking, I'm like he said, you're competing with everybody else. I'm like, who's going to get to the ball first? Yeah. Who's going to make the play? And really setting that tone, the same thing on punt. You know, as soon as we protect, allow Colton to get the ball off, who's going to get down there first? You know, I'll be trying to beat gunners down there. Yeah. And that's like my mindset when I'm trying to get down there. A lot of those guys, Taiwan and Andre, do a great job of being disruptive. And you go down and make some plays off of those guys. So hopefully by the way I play and the way I talk to some guys, we can continue to step up and be a better coverage unit.
Yeah, you're going to need it. These guys can return it. And like you said, the special teams, for me, technique goes into it. You have to be, you know, like good in your technique. But it's really a mindset, you know, and it's like, I want to go down there and make the tackle. You only get a certain amount of plays on coverage
team. One chance. You only get one chance. There ain't no redos.
And it looks bad when they return one on you.
Yeah.
You're like, man, they just returned a kick. Like, that can change the outcome of a game because return kicks, punts, or kickoffs can totally just momentum. It just shifts. You can feel it in the stadium, and they're at home. So if they get a big return at home, their crowd is going to be into it, you know, and I don't know if this Bills team doesn't want that on the road.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been in places where you go down there and you lay somebody out in their building It gets real quiet, yeah, real quick, like, and that momentum shifts, and it's just –
I've been that dude. It's, you get laid out. I've been that dude. Like, you get hit, and you hear the crowd, ooh. Like, ooh. You're like, man, let me get up and limp off the field.
Yeah, yeah, I love that moment, man.
Lorenzo, the Bills, 3 wins in the first 4 games, really a play or two away from being 4-0.
Yep.
Some of the fans are giddy, you know, over the moon. From the outside looking in, I don't get the sense that your teammates are like that, or you're like that, right?
No, not at all. I mean, last year we were 4-2 and didn't make the playoffs. I've been on teams that we were 6-2 and didn't make the playoffs. And I think Sean has done a great job of making sure there's still a sense of urgency in the building, that we haven't been crowned yet with 4 weeks into the season. We've only played 4 games, only 1/4 of a 4-quarter season, and that we have to continue to trust in the process if we want to be where we want to be at the end of the year. We have to continue to climb and not rely on what we've done. And we haven't played a perfect game. And as a competitor and a professional, you're always in search of that perfect game, which you'll never get. So that's why you always want to stay hungry, always try to figure out things that can make yourself better so you can get closer and closer to what perfection looks like on Sundays.
There's a long climb ahead, isn't there?
It is. I mean, still early. We've only played 1 division game. We haven't played the Patriots at all. We have some other good games coming in, but right now our whole focus is on, you know, Cincinnati, because they have a lot of great weapons. And if they get in a rhythm, I mean, they can turn it up too. I mean, because they've been in the playoffs
forever,
you know. You know what I mean? So they're a very good team.
How important is it to go into the bye week with a win instead of a loss?
I mean, that's huge. I mean, it's almost like the game before Christmas, you know. You want to be able to relax and enjoy it, and not, oh man, I wish I would have made that play like that. Oh, I wish I would have done that. You know, you kind of think about that the whole time, and it's just not as, you enjoy your family, but it's just not as relaxing as it would be if you're going into it with a win. And then obviously that catapults you in the standings, where people think of you. You continue to build confidence as a team, continue to, like we talked about last week, string those wins together.
Yeah.
That would make 3 in a row, and that's really when you start seeing a streak and start developing winning habits. So it's always key to be able to do that.
Best of luck to you. Thank you for coming by here today. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, always enjoy it.